I just love to see what God is doing in the lives of others, and I love it when he speaks to us in song and through words and exhortations. And here at River of Life, you know, it may not be like the church down the road, but we'd rather fashion it after the word of God, right? And what he says. And so we want to honor him in everything that we do. And this morning, before I start just with the word that I want to share with you, I want to say thank you to all of you. From Pastor Gordy and myself. We are so grateful for the body of Christ here at River of Life. We hear a lot of things from other churches and other pastors and things like that, and we're really grateful for the body of Christ here at River of Life and the way you honored us. We had pastor appreciation, and I'm still kind of enjoying some of the remains of that. There's remnant of that pastor appreciation because there's still some ice cream in the freezer. So I've been working on that. But beyond that, your cards and your gifts and your kind words, your encouragement means a lot to us. And we don't take that for granted. And we want you to know that we're very mindful of the body here and the way you honor us, the way you serve one another. The best thing that you can do for us as pastors is to love one another and to love others. When we see you serving one another, doing things, I think about this morning we came here and Brother Irv had put salt down on the sidewalk and things, and the worship team comes early, and there's people that are serving in many ways. And many of you, there's over in the Sunday school or the children's church this morning, there's a group of people that are serving those children and nourishing them with the word of God. So that's the best way that you can serve us, and you do so well at that, and we're just thankful. And so we want to say thank you for the time that we had here on Sunday evening for pastor appreciation. I have a word that I want to share with you this morning, and something that it's kind of interesting to me because I wasn't even thinking about it. What is the season that we're celebrating right now? There we go. So, yeah, the idea of Thanksgiving, and there we go. We find out that, you know, different things for different people, kind of what's in your mind. And I love all of that. I love the season when things are set aside for us to be grateful. And this morning, I was thinking back this week. One of the things that I reflect on a lot is there was a season in this nation, you know, a lot of things that we take for granted that have happened because people that they have invested, they believe so strongly in a cause that they paid the ultimate price. They laid down their life. And we benefit. We benefit from that. Just like I'm still eating the ice cream. We're kind of eating the ice cream of others' investment in this nation. And this nation's not perfect, but we're grateful. We should be grateful. But a lot of times it's easy to get caught up in everything that's wrong instead of finding something that's right. Isn't that the way it is? See, people are quick to point out everything that's wrong, but can you find just one thing that's right? It's easy to get caught up in all the negative things, and pretty soon it even affects our countenance, and we become dull, and we become negative. And so this morning, the things that I want to share with you are things that have kind of been brewing in me, and I want to just remind you, how many of you can think back on, and well, obviously most of you were not here, there's a few of you, that from in the late 1920s to the late 1930s, does anybody have any idea, history, people, what might have taken place in that era? The Great Depression. That's kind of an oxymoron, right? Great Depression. So how many of you have read much about the Great Depression? All right. And I know the school teachers are like, man, I know we taught them this stuff. They should remember it. I should remember some of those things, but I'm going to start out this morning just giving you a little bit of information, and I'm going to kind of set the stage for some things. This isn't a history lesson, but sometimes it's important that we remember where we came from. We remember the price that's been paid for us. I wonder if this water is fresh. Oh, this one's not been opened. Okay. So I think that sometimes we fail to remember from whence we came. How many of you reflect on your testimony, where God brought you from? Do you remember that? I think of that often because I realize that in myself, I don't have enough good in me to overcome the sin in my heart, but yet Jesus came into my life. There's a problem with all of us when we're born. We're born into something, and it plagues. It's a disease that plagues all of mankind, right? That disease of sin. And some people say, well, I have actually spoke to people, said, you know, I never did all that stuff. I was never like that. And what they insinuated is that I really never fell into deep, dark sin, and so I really didn't need the same kind of salvation that you did. Is that true? No. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how great you think you are. It doesn't matter that if you think that, well, I was never an addict. I was never a thief. I never murdered anybody. You maybe never did all those things. But you know what you did is that you offended God because you sinned. I love the way of the master uses that Ten Commandments. It's a school teacher. It teaches us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just with 10 simple commandments. I think that we set out to do a good thing, but we realize quickly that we fail. But there's few of us here this morning that have lived through the Great Depression or even any part of that. And the Great Depression that took place, I mean, and the dates are a little bit disputable because it depends on what you're thinking about, from late 1929 to 1939, somewhere there, about a 10-year span of when this took place. But during that time, we think that we've seen some, how many of you think you've seen some hard economic times in your lifetime? Yeah, that, I mean, you know, depending on who you are and where you grew up and how you grew up, you might have seen some really tough times. You might have seen tougher times than the rest of us, and it may have been comparable to the Great Depression, except one thing that is current today that wasn't in place then is there's a lot more social programs, a lot more government backup programs that they didn't have in place then. But back then, there was unemployment reached a high of 25%. 25%. Do you know what the unemployment is today? It's interesting because if you talk to our unemployment agencies, they'll tell you it was around 2 or 3%, and really, those 2 or 3%, they'd be quick to tell you they're just people who don't want to work. That's really what it is. They say, well, you know, I want to work, but I don't want that job, but I need to make more money. As a result of that, as long as there's a program in place, I'll just live on that program. But back then, those things weren't in place, and so they didn't have the backup plan. Can you imagine 25%? That means a fourth of you wouldn't have a job. That's hard to imagine. In fact, this was interesting, that over in Toledo, Ohio, the percentage was much higher. They said, like, back then, during that depression, I don't know what era, what time frame that was, but as many as 4 out of 5 people were not working. That'd be pretty tough to swallow, right? 4 out of 5. And there was another city in Ohio that had similar percentages of people that weren't working. There's another thing that happens. So when people lose jobs, what else do they lose? They lose housing. Lose housing. And we saw some of that back in 08 and 09. People lost their homes. And where do those people go? See, most of us are unaffected by this. It's hard for us to even relate to this. It's hard for me to relate to this. How many of you know what a tent city is? You've probably seen them in the, you know, in the news or videos or something like that. Do you know that there's one in Goshen, one in Elkhart? You know people live under the bridge in Elkhart? Yeah, under the bridge in Elkhart. They're by, on Main, before you get to Main Street. What is that road that goes in? Jackson. Yeah, Jackson. Right before you get to Main Street, there's a bridge. People live under there. Can you imagine this morning you woke up and I don't know if your bedroom was cool or not. We keep our bedroom a little bit cool, but it was cold this morning, right? There's people living outside. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad about that. Many of those people make decisions to live there. Okay, that's not my point. I'm just saying that that's a real thing. But they, this is something I didn't know, but those would be called like shanty towns. But there was something else they called them. They called them Hoovervilles. Why would they call them Hoovervilles? Anybody have an idea? Hooverville? Not, what's that? Yeah, President Hoover. They gave him the credit for that. And so they would call them Hoovervilles because they attributed that to him. You know, whenever there's a problem, it's got to be the president's fault. That's, it's easy. You know, it's somehow we need to attach blame to everything that happens. We need to find somebody who we can you know, lay that blame on. But interestingly, a third of all banks failed. Now, it seems like we have plenty of banks around here, but imagine a third of banks fail and the bank where you have your money failed. What would you do? Well, you know, you got some money. That's why people that went through the Depression, a lot of those people, even today, some of those people would store money in their home, in a, not necessarily in a can, but maybe in some kind of container because they remember what happened in the Depression. It's a real thing. And people who walk through that, it's hard to unremember, right? It's like forgiveness. People say, well, you know, you haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten it. Well, that's just not true. There's no truth in that. You can't humanly forget things. You can forgive, and you refuse to bring it up. You can refuse to bring that offense up again, but you can't unremember it. You can't say, well, you know, I just can't even remember it. No, you'll remember it, and it leaves a mark. Stock market lost value of 90%. Probably a lot of you have some investments here today. You can imagine, in the last 6-9 months, most of your, if you have investments, most of those kind of took a dive and probably lost some money. But 90%, stock market lost 90% of its value. Get this, 50% of children went hungry. Now, we have school lunch programs. And it's interesting to me that now the school is responsible to feed children because we do have a measure of students who actually don't have enough food. But in those homes, they do have plenty of other things, but they don't have money maybe for food. So it's, some of that is simply a lifestyle of choice, but those children didn't choose that. And so there are legitimate need. People, 50% of children that were in the went through the Depression went hungry often. The interesting thing was the you know, we have this term that we call, what is that, Black something Friday? Think of that, Black Friday. And when you hear Black Friday, what do you think of? Wow, that came quick. Like sale, there's a little energy in that. So Black Friday, and in your mind, it actually triggers some endorphins of happiness. But it meant something completely different. There was a storm, and they had, you know, the drought. And then as a result of the drought was the Dust Bowl. And that Dust Bowl was not something like anything that most of us could even understand. But they had blizzards, and they called them dust blizzards, and they called them black blizzards. But there was one in particular, one of the worst ones, that carried soil, topsoil, some 2,000 miles from the plains to the East Coast, carrying 350 million tons of topsoil and dumping it along the way. And when you see pictures, it looks like snowdrifts, but it's dirt, it's topsoil, piled up to the windows, came through the cracks of the houses, even well-sealed houses. Can you imagine waking up in the morning and having a layer of dust on you, on all of your clothes and everything that you own? And that happened during this time of the Great Depression. Farmers would kill their livestock because they knew that they would, even to sell it was losing money. And so they just killed it. We had that happen. I remember hog farmers who would just, even to take their life, their pigs to the sale and sell them, cost them more money, and they would just lose more money. It was better just to exterminate them, dig a hole, and bury them. It's crazy to think about those things actually happening. But another, you know, that there was a storm is called Black Sunday, and the stock market crashed. They had different days. There was a Black Thursday, and then 5 days later there was a Black Tuesday, and that was stock market crash. This was terrible times. When we hear, you know, when we hear the Black Friday sale, it means something completely different. You know, the idea, oh, those poor store owners, they're losing money, and we're benefiting. You know, we're opportunists that are gaining from that. There's a lot of money generated, a lot of sales and a lot of good things that happened, but that's not what happened in the Great Depression. So why am I talking about that? What does the Great Depression have to do with the gospel? What does the Great Depression have to do with where we're at today? Do you know that today we celebrate this coming week? We celebrate a season here in our country we call Thanksgiving. And different things, you know, it triggers different thoughts in your mind. If I asked each one of you, what do you think of when you think of Thanksgiving? Most of you would have some similar answers, but they would be things like certain types of food. They would be things like family. They would be certain things that you do in tradition on Thanksgiving, right? Those would be, and there's nothing wrong with that. What is the origin of Thanksgiving? And more than just, the thing that happened with Soto, you know, the Indians and all of that. What else? This is a little bit of and it's important because it's our nation. It's our foundation, how this nation in the formation of our priorities. Who was the first president? Do you know the proclamation that George Washington, have you ever read his proclamation concerning Thanksgiving? I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to understand that this was the transcript from it. This was October 3rd, 1789. That was a few years ago. It's hard to imagine, but you can read this for yourself, and you should, because we take a lot of things for granted because we live in a nation of fatness and plenty. If I ask you, what do we need more of in this nation, would you say, you know, we need the RV sales to increase? Would you say that, you know, our stock market needs to rebound so we can recover the money we've lost? What would be the thing that would bring man back to his dependency upon God? Would it be blessing? Is that what it would be? If we had more, would that cause us to love God more? What do you think, Daniel? Is that what it would take? That's good. I like that answer. Kind of a laugh and no. How many of you are excited? Hey, you're drawn into prayer because you just got a raise and you got a lot of money and now you can buy something that you've always wanted. Does that cause you to go to your knees and just, you know, really consecrate yourself to the Lord? Okay, you can ponder that. I'm going to read this to you. So this was the proclamation by our first president, who was a farmer. He thought of himself as a farmer, but he was a president. So I better take a drink of water here. Joey got me a little stirred up singing. All right. By the President of the United States of America, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. That's a good way to start, right? This is the president, the first president of our nation. To obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, imagine that, both houses, have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many single favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity to peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war. This coming out of World War I. Amazing. For his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been established and enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and the general for all great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in the most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly, punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have been shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789. That was our first president. And that was the Revolutionary War, not the World War I. And then later, I think it was Abraham Lincoln, they changed it so it was the third Thursday of the month. So that date changed. Now that to me is remarkable. That's remarkable. When they talk about our founding fathers, they talk about the way our nation began. And you can say whatever you want about, our government this and our government that, but it really points back to us. Something, how many of you have traditions that you practice at Thanksgiving? I'd like to see your hands. If you have tradition at Thanksgiving, I want to see your hands. Okay. For the rest of you who didn't raise your hand, you should have some traditions. Because traditions help us remember. If the tradition is founded on something that is worth remembering. One of the things that we do, and this is one of the things that my wife insisted on, and I think it's a grand idea, and it takes a lot of time, because as your family gets bigger, we stand in a circle. This is really important, and I get instruction. My wife tells me, okay, now this is what I need you to do. Listen up. And before we eat, we're going to stand in a circle, and everybody's going to go around, and they're going to say something that they're thankful for. And it takes a lot of time, because some people, you know, it's supposed to, even if you give them parameters, like, okay, we just need to say one thing and just make it short. How does that go? It's like holding the mic for somebody. I'll hold the mic so that we control how long this lasts. But, you know, the reality is when somebody's full, their cup runs over and they can't help themselves. And that takes a little bit of time. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, boy, that turkey smells good. Hope this doesn't last long. It is kind of like that. And I think invariably it ends up with tears, because we realize we're so grateful for where we are in light of where we've been. Sometimes it's hard to be grateful because we're comparing ourselves, we're comparing our situations. If you're going through hard times, going through really hard times, it's easy to look at somebody else and say, well, why do they have it so good and I have it so bad? Why can't I have this and they have that? Why is my situation always this way? And it actually affects our countenance, it affects our demeanor, it affects the way we look at others, and it affects the way that we communicate with people. And I'm not talking about having a certain type of personality. You may be a pessimist or you may be an optimist. It's part of our DNA, right? Some of those things. Your cup may be half full or your cup may be half empty. My wife and I realized something we talked about when we were on trail is there was, at one point, my wife was kind of frustrated with me. She said, can't you just understand what I'm experiencing right now? So it's raining and it's wind. The rain is coming from the side. It's blowing so hard. It's not coming down. It's coming from the side. And we didn't have our rain gear on. We were kind of caught off guard. And we were in pretty high elevation. We were in the Smokies, right? And it was blowing so hard. And even to stop and put on our rain gear, we're just going to get really soaked. And to put our rain gear on, we had to take our shoes off. We weren't even real sure where it was at. We learned some lessons that day. It really, like, keep that rain gear on the outside of your pack where you can quickly grab it, and you need to have a plan. You need to practice taking it on and off so you know how to get it on quickly. And don't wait until the rain falls to put that on. If you can see the clouds and you see the rain coming in, put the rain gear on. Well, anyway, she was expressing her dissatisfaction with the weather. And we were wet and we were cold and kind of miserable. And I said, well, at least it's not far to camp or something like that. You know, we've only got another hour to camp. And she's like, I just want you to understand right now I'm not enjoying this. This is not pleasant. You know, that's not really being grateful. That's just kind of being optimistic, you know. Well, at least we're still alive. We didn't get blown off the mountain. But that doesn't help the situation. So I'm not talking about being thankful. Don't confuse being thankful with just being optimistic. It's more than that. It's intentionally regarding what you have in your life, what God has done for you. And it's interesting because Jesus, I won't read it, but in Luke 17, you might want to make a note of this. You might want to go home and read it again. But there was a situation that happened in Luke 17 that's recorded where Jesus was walking along and there were 10 lepers. 10 lepers. And so these 10 lepers, it says that they were at a distance, you know, because when you came in close proximity to a leper, they're supposed to say something like, warning, leper, get away, don't get too close, like you've got COVID or something, right? And so from a distance, they're probably hollering out, hey, don't get close, I'm a leper. But it says that these lepers were crying out to Jesus, and that Jesus told them to go to the priest and that they would be healed. And on the way, they were healed of their leprosy. Now, leprosy is kind of leprosy is still a thing today. mostly in like third world countries. It's not prevalent around here, but it was a real deal. And if you had a skin disease like that, that would be so repulsive. They had areas where they lived. They were like, they stayed in camps together, and they could live together among each other, but they were considered unclean, even spiritually, like there was something unclean about them. And so they went their way, and they were healed. And one of them, when he was, it says that he was a Samaritan, but he actually came back to Jesus, and he thanked him. He gave him glory for being healed. 1 out of 10. I wonder what the others thought. To be healed of a disease like that, and he came back, and Jesus even noted, he said, where's the other 9? There was 10 of you, where's the other 9? Only one of you came back. And it doesn't really say what happened. I've wondered different times, you know, did they stay healed? Did it come back on them? Don't read too much into that. But it's interesting because Jesus noted that only one came back to give him glory, to thank him for what had happened. And you know what the interesting thing is? The person, the race of that one person? Who was that one person? A Samaritan. And what do you know about a Samaritan? In one word, what would you call a Samaritan? They were a half-breed. They were Jews that intermarried with, I believe, the Assyrians. And so they were lesser than. They were not true blue Jews. They had their own version of the Pentateuch, and they kind of had their own temples. But it was that one that came back and thanked him. It's interesting. I notice that sometimes the most thankful people are the ones that I would expect the least. I've noticed working at the food pantry, the most grateful people are the Latinos. Right? Would you say the same? They are the quick, even if they can't speak good English, they're the quickest to say thank you or gracias. Our gratitude tells us a lot about your gratitude. It's kind of like a barometer in your life of where you see yourself in relationship to the Lord. So there you have the situation with the 10 lepers. But I'm going to read a few passages to you, a few scriptures here. And the whole time, I just want you to think about the importance of our gratitude. I look at things today, even it's easy to see all the wrong things in our government today. Our nation, in my lifetime, our nation has never been so divided as it is today. And the division, I believe, comes from our leaders in our nation. I'm not saying one party. I'm saying our leadership in our nation has brought division like never before. And we can get on that bandwagon, and it's legitimate, some of the poor leadership because of the division that has caused. But more importantly is your part. I'm often, when people are telling me something that's wrong, you know, even on a local level, my question looming in my mind, and I'll often ask them this, so what are you doing about it? What do you think the solution is? What are you willing to invest? What are you willing to do to make something different? It was kind of a joke with Amos. I like to tease him, sputt him a lot about he ran for a school board. And we had a lot of happy, funny jokes. We, talked about things that happened. And people have all these ideas about what they think. But the bottom line is, what are you willing to do to make a difference? What are you willing? And that's why Amos ran for school board, right? Because Amos thought, like, hey, here's an opportunity to make a difference. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He was trying to make a difference in our school. He thought, well, hey, that'd be a good place. Instead of whining and complaining about it, why don't I just, invest myself in realizing it's not a high-paid job or anything like that. And there's not a lot of notoriety, especially if there's problems, right? And I think, they had a big bang-up meeting in the Northridge school system, and parents came, flailing words and things, and just a lot of junk. And then after it kind of cleared up, and then there's nobody there. Nobody attends meetings after that. It's just when there's problems. What are you willing to bring to the table because of your gratitude? Like an expression, like that Samaritan that came back to thank the Lord. In Romans 1:21, this describes kind of the way that things will be prior to the return of the Lord. This is how things are going to kind of go. And it says that although they knew God, get that, they knew God. These people knew God. They neither glorified him as God nor give thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's interesting that that word of thankful, they were no longer thankful. It doesn't talk about their depravity. I mean, it does some, but more, I think what I'm trying to get you to understand here is the importance of being thankful, the importance of realizing God has provided. Everything that you have isn't because you're an American. It's not because you're a certain background. It's not because of who your daddy is. That may have something to do with it. It's actually the goodness of God. And that could be disrupted suddenly. We realize how fragile our lives are. You can say, well, you know, I'm a prepper. I've got food stored up. I've got money in the bank. But what if the bank failed? What if a third of the banks failed and where you stored your money? That bank failed and there's no way to get your money. What if the job that you have that you thought so secure, that you've been there for 20 years and you have seniority, what if that job failed and the business closed? And maybe you had a job. I was talking to a brother here, and he said that he was place where they work, they're going to, like many, they're really cutting back on their time. And I think over between now and the new year, they're going to lose like 6 weeks worth of work. They're going to be off. And this guy's used to making upwards of $50 an hour. And he said, well, hey, he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said, well, I know a guy in our church who has a position that you could make doing this kind of work and, you know, be part-time, but you put groceries on the table. And he said, well, how much money would I make? And he said, $25 an hour. And he said, no thanks. I'll stay home. And I said, you know, we talked about it. I said, you know, he just hasn't got hungry yet. He gets hungry, it'll change, you know. When a man gets hungry or a person gets hungry, it'll motivate them. It'll motivate them to do something different. I don't know what happened, but $25 an hour was not enticing enough to him to want to work. But I imagine when the food runs out, that'll maybe change. Colossians 3, I want to read a couple of verses here. In Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. And be thankful. Not be optimistic, be thankful. Being thankful is being intentional, recognizing what God has done for you and in your life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what happened here this morning. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord, in the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks to God the Father. Are we intentional? Are you intentional? Am I intentional every day? And you can kind of just, I want you to think about this. Maybe just make a note of it, the word thankful. Put it on your refrigerator or someplace where you, on your bathroom mirror or something like that. The word thankful. How intentional am I that I am thankful in all things? We have it's interesting. I'm not picking on you if you've ever prayed in my presence, but I'll just tell you, I think about it. So we get together, we're going to eat a meal. And we have a nice meal in front of us, and like, oh, I can't wait to dig my teeth into that. And somebody prays, and if the pastor's there, he's the one that's designated prayer, right, Gordy? So, but somebody prays, and if somebody else is praying, it starts out, you know, depending on your background and what you're used to, you start out praying a certain way. And sometimes it turns into kind of a prayer session, like I'm going to start praying for this person, I'm going to pray for that, Lord, and a bless me session, like, well, bless us, Lord, bless us. Well, the food's actually been blessed already. But instead of just acknowledging gratitude, like, Lord, we just thank you for providing this food today, that we have teeth in our head, that we can chew it, and we have water to drink to wash it down in case it's a little dry. I'm just saying that the thankfulness, being cognizant, being aware of the idea that when I pray and I give thanks, I'm actually giving thanks. God has blessed the food. He's blessed us. Now let's give him thanks and intentionally give him thanks. Lord, thank you for providing this food. And it doesn't even have to be a comparison. Like, I know there's people in Bangladesh that are starving. Just simply saying, God, thank you that you provided. I don't deserve it. I'm so thankful. On my own, I couldn't have pulled this off, but Lord, you have blessed us, and thank you for doing that. Understanding that he's the provider. I know that we as men, we love to understand that we provide, and that's good, and yet God provided you with a job and with means. So when you think about this word thankful, and I was thinking about this not even in before I was thinking about Thanksgiving. It was just on my mind a lot. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, I know that we read a lot of scripture. We read a lot of scriptures that, you know, if you're looking for something like a theme of prayer or something like that, we will we'll pick out certain verses. But I was kind of, as I began studying and just doing a little bit of word search, I realized that many times I overlook that word of thanksgiving. And so in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. See, those are good verses, good words in that verse, right? Pray, or rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to that is good, and abstain from every form of evil. In the midst of all that is give thanks. Give thanks. Be like that Samaritan leper. He went back and he said, I just want to thank you. I can't imagine his gratitude. But if I had been healed of a skin disease, if I had been healed of cancer, I couldn't contain myself. I don't even know how that's possible, that you could go on and just disregard what he had done in your life. There's another passage in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and this is probably in the last several months. This has been, probably in the last several years in reality. And my wife is the one who kind of schooled me in this and helped me get a better understanding. I want to read this to you, and I want you to just think about this when you pray and you're praying with other people. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be nervous. Do not be worrisome. Don't fret about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, and here it is, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so sometimes we overlook things. We say, well, God will guard our hearts and our minds. But yeah, here part of the prescription is that we, with thanksgiving, make our requests known. How would you do that? How would you, if you're going to pray, how would you pray with thanksgiving? I think it's like a prelude, right? We begin by saying, God, we just want to thank you that we can come into your presence. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that made it possible. You see, there was a situation where I was a diseased sinner because of Jesus Christ, and you sent him to appease the wrath of God. I no longer have to bear that. Thank you for doing that, Lord. Just acknowledging. Maybe you were saved from a horrible, destructive lifestyle. God, thank you. I would have been dead today had you not delivered me. Thank you, Lord. acknowledging what he has done in your life. So with thanksgiving, we make our prayers and our petitions known. First, before that peace of God that we love, that peace of God that transcends all understanding. But before that comes the thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for my brother. Thank you, Lord, for my sister. Thank you that I can stand here with them today. Thank you. How many of you came in today? I know some of you, Pastor Gordy, you probably didn't wear a coat. Probably not. But you have a coat. Yeah. So I would imagine that all of you, whether you wore it or not, have a coat, right? And if you don't, if you see us and you need one, and you have genuine need, we'll find you a coat. But you see, you have coats. You have warm houses. You drove cars to get here. You probably have socks. Mine might have a hole in my sock. I hang on to them till death do us part. So the reality is that, you know, you're clothed well. You have probably reasonable transportation. And if you want to work, you have a job. You have a lot to be thankful for. I have so much to be thankful for. If I stand and I just start to thank the Lord and I made a list of things that I am thankful for, I would be here a long time. Not because we're Americans, because God is good to us. Many people in the world don't afford the things that we have. And I don't know why that is. I don't have that understanding. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful this morning that I wasn't sleeping under the bridge in Elkhart. You can say whatever you want about that. Well, you know what? They may have mental problems. They may have addictions that keep them there. They may have a pet that'll prohibit them from going into faith mission. I'm thankful. I'm not living under the bridge. That's in my mind a lot. I'm thankful for whatever took them there. All right, I want to get on to something here that you know, we know what the Israelites did, right? About 45 days into their exodus, they started murmuring and complaining and grumbling. They weren't starving. They weren't without, you know, maybe they didn't have ice in their water. It's pathetic when I sit in a restaurant and I listen to somebody complain and harass a waitress because their food is not quite the way that they wanted. I'm like, you give me that plate. You go home and I'll take it to somebody who appreciates it. You shouldn't even be here. You should be thankful. Okay. I want to do something this morning I don't think we've ever done, but I grew up in this. And since I'm leading today, I'm going to ask you to participate with me. And I think it could be kind of a fun thing. More than being fun, I want it to sear your brain. Like a steak is seared, you put it on a hot skillet, and it makes a mark. That's what I want to do. I want it to make a mark. So I've asked Brother Stephen to put Psalms 136 up for us this morning. And we're going to read this, but we're going to read this. I grew up in a Mennonite church. There's some good stuff. They have some good stuff. So what we're going to do, typically, whoever's leading would read a portion of it, but I would rather that we would engage, all of us participate together. And so we will have... And you, I had Stephen put it up on the screen so that we're all reading the same translation, because if you're not reading the same words, it doesn't come out right. The difficult part of this, and I tried to think this through in my head, is that we have to kind of read in the same rhythm. Now, for some of you that are speed readers, you're just going to have, Dean, you're going to have to bring it down. You're going to have to wait for the rest of us to catch up with you. And I need you to read it loud, like you believe it, and not be bashful about it. But it should go something like this. So we'll start out in the beginning, and it'll say, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And then the other portion of the church will say, "For his mercy endures forever." And then verse 2 will be, "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods." And they will say, "For his mercy endures forever." Got it? Pretty easy, right? I think so. So what we'll do is we're going to have part 1 and part 2. So we're going to divide the sea here. So y'all are going to be one. So you'll read the first part, and you're going to respond. You're going to echo. And then upstairs will be the same. So Sam and, you know, you're going to be part of one. And then Jacob, Josiah, you're with them. All right, and so I need you to read off of here so that we're reading the same thing. And don't read it fast. You're like, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercy." And try to do it together, but do it loud, okay? The idea here is not to, this isn't just to be a fun thing. It's actually understanding what we're reading. Think about what you're reading. Think about what God has done. Now, realizing some of this is pertinent to the Israelites, but you can apply it to your own life. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand up. It's like singing. When you stand, you can, your vocal cords work better. So, okay, are we ready? Do we need to do exercise, or you think you got it? Okay, we're going to start over here, and we will begin, and then you will echo the second part of it, okay? "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Say it loud.
To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever.
Amen.
To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever.
You can be seated. Thank you. That was awesome. That was good preaching right there. That was all the word. You know, I think that when we have this understanding that his mercy endures, we can thank him for his mercy. I want to close with a few thoughts here. You know, I talked about in the beginning, you know, the Great Depression. I realized that many of you face some really depressing situations in your life. No matter how bad that situation is, no matter how bad those circumstances are, you can thank the Lord that he never leaves you, never forsakes you. We need to understand that it's God who sustains us. We don't hold our life, he does. I'm confident I will not leave this earth until he says it's time to come home. And I don't need to be so taken up with this world that I lose sight of eternity. I don't want to be, you know, something I called out of that proclamation, even George Washington mentioned, are temporal blessings. They're temporal. Don't be so caught up, married to the temporal blessings that we lose sight of eternity. We can get so caught up, and a lot of our anxiety can come from fixing our eyes on those things that are temporal. And it's hard to think about the eternal. I had three things here that I wanted to just and enjoy. If the worship team would come up, we're going to sing a song and close. As they're coming, I want to offer you some relief today if you're experiencing grief, if you're experiencing depression. You know, depression is a real thing. I was talking to my brother this morning, and we were talking about drug addiction. It's a real thing. Some people would say it's a disease. I say it's a disease of the heart. But if you think that you can rationalize with an addict and their disease or their sickness, or in my understanding, the sickness in their heart, you're wrong. You can't rationalize with somebody who's addicted to drugs, to pornography, to alcohol. You can't rationally, with your rational mind, try to reason with them. They have to come to a point to where they're willing to say, I've had enough. I submit myself to God. Whatever it takes, I want it. Whatever it takes. But if you're not to that point to where you say, whatever it takes, then you're not ready. But it's like that in every situation in our life. You have to come to a point of brokenness where you say, I've had enough. I'm tapping out. This is it, man. I'm done. Whatever it takes, I'm willing. If it means that I have to go live somewhere, I'm going to do it. If it means that I'm going to have to separate myself from everything, that all the comforts of this life, I'm ready. I'm doing it. I'm not willing to go on like this. But here's three things I want to leave you with this morning. If you're not thankful, if you're not a thankful person, you will likely become bitter. You'll become a bitter person. You'll be so disenchanted with your circumstance, you're going to compare yourself with others. You're going to be so focused on the things that aren't right in your life, you'll become bitter. You'll have nothing to be thankful for because all you'll see is all your problems. If you're a bitter person, you might want to just check and see if you're a thankful person. Number two is if you're not thankful, you're very likely going to be very discouraged. If you look at our government, if you watch too much news, and I'll say that freely, if you watch too much news, and it won't take much to become too much. You're going to become discouraged, not from watching the news, but if you're not thankful. You're going to become very discouraged. When you focus on the things that you're grateful for, it's hard to be anything but encouraged. You realize you walked in here on your two legs today. You ought to thank the Lord for that. If you've got hearing today, you ought to be thankful for that. Right, George? He's got an iPad, so he's got a program that will print it pretty fast. But George lost his hearing. Was it six? I was going to say seven. 6 years old, he lost his hearing. Don't take your hearing for granted. I had a friend that I went to school with, and he lost his right arm right here. He's a good friend, a good brother. His name's Vernon. And when we drew teams, you know, when we signed up and draw teams to play softball at school, he was one of the first guys that they chose. You know why? Not because they felt sorry for him. He was the best fielder on the team. That guy could catch with his left hand. He could catch a ball, throw it in the air, grab it out of the air, and hurl that thing like nobody else. When it came his time to hit, He could hit as good or better than anybody else. Yeah, they wanted him on his team. But don't think for a moment that you shouldn't be thankful for two arms. If you're married and your spouse is sitting by you, be thankful for your spouse. We have people in our church today, their spouse isn't with them. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Tell them how much you appreciate them and tell the Lord how thankful. I often refer to my wife, she is perfect. She is perfect. She's perfect for me. She is. And I tell her that freely. You should tell your wife that, that she's perfect. God made her perfect for you. If you start to complain about her, you're going to be very discontent. Number three, if you aren't thankful, you'll become proud and self-sufficient. You won't have any need of God. I can do this. I got this. Man, I just got a raise. Man, I just got a new position in my job. Things are rolling my way now. We just got a new house. Got a new car. Got a new boat. Man, we're riding. We are living large, man. I remember Jesus said, you fool, your barns are full. Today your life's going to be required. We need to be thankful, church. Thank him for the little things. Start out there. I want to encourage you with this. I'm going to give you an assignment. I'll say it that way. I'll give you an assignment this week. And I hope it carries on the rest of your life. But every day, when you start your day, you begin with thankfulness. Thanking the Lord for everything that you can think of. If you have that much time, you may have to quit early because you have to go to work, right? Or you need to get the kids ready. But just start out. No, bless God this, bless this person, bless that person, heal this. No, start out with thankfulness. God, thank you that I'm alive today. Thank you that you have restored relationship with me and you, that I can come freely into your presence. Thank you that when I was lost and without hope, you made a way for me. Start out there. And I don't think that you'll run out of things once you get started. You know what? It'll affect your countenance. If you're a bitter person, it'll affect your countenance. Others around you will notice, hey, something's different. Okay, Joey, could we sing a song? All right. And then you sing, and then I'll come back up, and I'll just pray, all right? Why don't you stand, and we're going to worship.
Stephen, my Savior lives.
Wonderful. Before I pray, I just want to, I don't want to draw attention to it, but I do. Today, we have Sister Myrna that's having a little birthday. She's turned 75 today. So happy birthday, Myrna. All right. And you might want to just give her a big hug and wish her a happy birthday on your own. I just want to pray over you and then I'll dismiss you. Father, today we are thankful. We're so thankful for what you have done in our lives individually. Thankful, Lord, for the body of Christ that we meet together here and we can be encouraging to one another. Thankful, Lord, for the way that you have renewed us, restored us. Thankful, Lord, that you have provided for everything that we need, spiritually, physically, emotionally. We're thankful. Lord, we're thankful that we have a climate-controlled building here to meet in. Father, thank you for turning on the heat. Thank you for padded seats. Lord, thank you for the abundance. But Lord, help us not to forget you in all of our abundance, to never forget you. Father, we don't want to be like those Samaritan, or like those others, those other lepers. We want to be like that Samaritan leper that thanks you for everything and acknowledges you in all of our ways. So as we go here today, from here today, Spirit of God, just be upon our minds and upon our hearts that we would just have an attitude of gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And we will see those of you for the marriage connection tonight here at 5 o'clock.